Today, I'm gonna continue the series of the I Ams, the statements, the declarations that Jesus makes throughout the book of John, the Gospel of John. And so he makes seven of these statements, and each one of these is a declaration of who Jesus is. You'll see each one of them. It's like he tries to explain it to people, and then they're just not getting it, and he just finally has to be like, listen, I'm the bread of life. Like we did last week. They're searching for food. They're following him because he's providing for food. And he's like, hello, I'm the bread of life. I'm what you need. I'm what you've been searching for. And so it's no different this week. This week is I am the light. This is where he says, I'm the light of the world. And the thing about these declarations is each one of them expresses Jesus' saving relationship toward the world. You'll see that in each one of them. They're a revelation of who he is. And just as we sang, that's my desire, is to know him. So I hope that's the desire of your heart. But a couple of things I want to remind everybody of before we get into today's scripture is that John wrote this gospel with the purpose of proving that Jesus was the Son of God. That was his purpose. He says it in chapter 20. This is why there's a whole lot more to what Jesus did than the miracles, and he really leaves out a lot of those miracles, because his thing is, I'm going to show you, Jesus is God. He's the one, you know, I'm going to drive this home. But there are people that they have no idea what they are really like. This is the second thing. Thinking about what you think someone is. Like, I know who Todd is based on my experience with Todd and what I've heard about Todd. Now, when I first met Todd, I knew a lot less about him, and I had heard a lot less about him. I probably heard a lot more about him, but that was a joke for anybody that knows Todd. But you base that perception on what you think about people, and usually it turns out when you actually get to know that person, they're not exactly what you think they were. You know, maybe it was one bad experience or one thing that someone made up, some gossip that got started or whatever. But we often treat Jesus the same way. And, well, I heard this about him and I heard that and I read this in the Bible. And so, okay, we'll just go with that. And a lot of times we tend to have this, like, this picture of Jesus that is not necessarily who he really is. And Christians and non-Christians alike tend to treat him this way, where we try to fit him into our mold or our lifestyle, and instead of accepting him for who he is, we try to make him who we want him to be, what makes it easier for us. So that's part of my purpose in doing this 7 weeks, all about Jesus, who he is. Everything we do is about Jesus, but these messages are geared towards this is who he says he is, and Jesus is truth, right? In John 14, chapter 14, verse 6, it says that. And so everything that he says is true. So whatever he says that he says that because that's really who he is, no matter what our idea of him may be. He is who he says he is. So the first thing that we looked at last week, I am the bread of life. And he made that declaration again because there was this crowd that was following him after he had fed the 5,000 men, approximately, they believe, 20,000 women, with 5 fish and 2 loaves. Awesome, amazing miracle. But he finally gets his point across. He's the bread of life. If we put our trust, our hope in him, we'll be satisfied, we'll be fulfilled, but we have to focus on him. And he's trying to tell these people, this crowd that's following him, don't focus your time and energy on the things that you work so hard to gain or obtain in this life. Instead, focus on me. Focus on Jesus, and you'll have all that you need to endure this life and forever. So today I'm going to continue on with the second I Am, which is in John chapter 8. If you guys want to turn there, John chapter 8, verse 12. And I'm going to pray while you guys are turning there. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Your word is so amazing and so wonderful. And we just pray that right now, Lord, that you would give us revelation of who you are through your word. God, that Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us. You as the greatest teacher of all, a greater teacher than any man on this earth, I pray that you would teach us, that you would touch our hearts and speak your truths to us today for each and every person right where they are at, that you would speak to their hearts, Lord. I pray that you would speak through me, Lord, that you help me set aside any ideas or any things that I may come up with, and that I would just share what you would have in store for this church today, Lord. We love and praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, John chapter 8, verse 12, he says this. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now, something I find interesting here to give a little bit of background before he says this, makes this statement, is Jesus is speaking to this crowd here right during the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. And one of the biggest things during this Feast of Tabernacles was the illumination of the temple. They'd set these big lights. They had like four big lights they would set up around the temple. And the pilgrims who came to the temple, they would bring their own lights, torches. People had torches. It was all about light. And they had golden lampstands that were lit. And this was a prophetic, what they were doing, it was a prophetic looking forward to the coming of the Messiah is part of what they're doing here with this. And so you got to think about this, what they're doing, what's going on at this time. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Like, again, just like with the bread, you guys are following me because I multiplied bread and you're wanting more bread. I am the bread. Now they're doing this big light spectacle and he's saying, look at me right here. I'm standing right in front of you. I am the light of the world. And notice that he doesn't say that he has the light or he can get the light. He says, I am the light. Now, prior to this, the chief priests and the Pharisees, if you read just before this, they were trying to convict Jesus and arrest him of blasphemy. They were constantly trying to trick him and expose him as a fraud. And they bring this woman to him who was caught in adultery. And he tells them, Jesus says to them, okay, well, whoever's without sin, go ahead and throw a stone at her. And what do? They all step away. They drop their stones. They step away. These are the religious leaders at the time. And Jesus says to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She says, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That light that is Jesus does not overlook sin or darkness in our life. That's not what he did there. It's not that he overlooked it. The light exposes darkness, right? You go in a room that's dark, you turn on light, it's light, right? Light exposes darkness. Light drives darkness out. He told the woman, go and sin no more. That literally means leave your life of sin. It wasn't like, well, just go and try not to do that again. He's like, go. He's like, you've been forgiven. Leave the life of sin. Don't continue to do it. Don't leave here and just go do something different. Leave the life of sin. Turn away. It's repentance. The light brings repentance. We submit to the Lord and he forgives us, but he will expose the darkness in our life. He will drive it out of us. And then what? We have to turn away from it. We have to leave that life of sin. Jesus is light, the light of the world. So what is light? You don't necessarily have to answer me, but it's time for me to take a drink. All right. What is light? Light is truth. Think about that for a second. Light is truth. It's understanding. It's knowledge. How many of you have ever made some of these statements? Somebody says something and you're like, okay, that's a good one. Enlighten me, okay? You want them to enlighten you. Like, tell me the truth. Tell me this thing that I don't know. Or you really shed light on that for me. We say that with scriptures all the time. Or when someone doesn't know something, you often say, well, I was in the dark on that one, right? Because you don't know. It's the opposite of knowledge, of truth. Or when someone, you're telling someone something and they just don't get it, you're like, hello, is the light on? Anybody ever said that to anybody? Okay. We know exactly what light is. We talk about it all the time with those types of statements. Light is truth. Jesus is light. Jesus is truth. They're all the same. Jesus, light, and truth. It's the same thing. He says, if you follow me, I am the truth of the world. He's the light of the world. I'm the truth of the world. Any light that is not in line with Jesus is no light at all. It's either light or it's dark. Now, what does light do? In John chapter 3, a lot of this stuff comes out of John because, again, John is proving this is Jesus is who he says he is. But John chapter 3, verse 21 says this, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. One thing that light does that is huge is light reveals. Light reveals. To reveal means to discover, to show, to make something known that was before unknown or that was concealed. So light enables us to see things that oftentimes were there and we couldn't recognize them, we couldn't realize them because they're in the darkness. Darkness conceals, light reveals. And so if you've ever been in the pitch dark before, and you know that if you can't see anything at all in the light. Now, I'm not talking about like sleeping in your bedroom and there's like a night light, or there's like at our old house in Altamont, there was this yard light or whatever by the driveway that like beamed in our window. Like it was like the moon was actually in our bedroom, even with blinds. But I'm not talking about that. I'm thinking pitch dark. If you've ever been in that situation, I don't like the pitch dark. I'm not afraid of the dark, but usually you can adjust your eyes and see a little bit of something. But pitch dark is horrible because you can't see anything. But light reveals. Light reveals what is right in front of you, oftentimes that you can't see at all if you don't have any light. Light reveals what is all around you. Light reveals the things that you can't see. And this is why the truth, the Word of God, it shows us our sin because it is the light. It reveals darkness that was concealed. A lot of times we don't realize that we have things going on in our lives. If you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, I'm sure that there's been points in your life where you just thought, I got this thing figured out. Like, I'm doing really good. It's because we still have things that are concealed. We still have darkness in our life that's concealed that we need light revealed on it. Sometimes it's just us being dense and just being rebellious and stubborn, but sometimes it's that we really don't see it. It's why I talked about when you have a perception of a person, with a person, it doesn't necessarily work like what I'm trying to do here with Jesus. Jesus is the truth, so who he says he is who he is. Now, if you were to just ask me who I am, I would hope that it's true, but there's probably some things about me that I don't see, right, that other people see. And it's why I asked my elders this morning, if you ever have anything to say to me, you have a freedom to say it. Anything at all that you see in me that I'm doing wrong or need to do differently, because guess what? You know why I'm doing it? Because I don't see it. I need someone to reveal it to me. I need light shed on those things. I need what's concealed to be revealed. And C.S. Lewis said it like this. He said, I believe in Christ like I believe in the sun, not only because I see it, but because all things are seen by it. Light reveals or exposes that darkness. And I was in a meeting with some pastors a while back, and this goes with concealing and revealing here in a second, but I was in this meeting with a couple of pastors, and one of them told me that over the last, you know, several months, basically since I started here, they've only heard one negative comment about Freedom Reigns in Christ Church. And immediately I was like, well, tell me what it is. I want to know what it is. There's probably more than one out there, but they had only heard one. And what he said was that there was a person who they knew, who knew me and knows people that come to church here, who said they were afraid to come to church here. And I was like, afraid? Like, what do they think we're going to do? Like, beat them or something? Like, I was like, I don't get it. And pretty quickly, another one of the pastors that was there said, I'll tell you why they're afraid. They're afraid of the Spirit. They're afraid that God's going to expose things in their life, that he's going to speak to them and make them change what they don't want to change. And that wasn't me. That was another pastor in town that said that. And I was like, hey, I'll receive that. Well, hopefully we can get them to come sometime and not be afraid. But so you see, people sometimes are afraid of church. And I was one that was in this place at one point. We can be afraid of church because we don't want to be exposed. You can be afraid of people because you don't want to be exposed. Whenever there was a time where I came to church and I stopped coming to church, and guess who I did not want to be around? Those people that go to church. I don't want to be around you guys anymore because I'm trying to go back and do what I want to do, and you guys come around with Jesus and expose the darkness that's in my life, what I'm trying to conceal. I like got it under my jacket over here, like, get out of here. But when people come to church, things get exposed. And it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God working in your life that he exposes it to you. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody's sitting here looking at you like, wow, that lady right there is, you know, she's got a bad attitude. She gossips around town, whatever. No, we're talking about God exposing things in your life to you, okay? We don't stand around here and try to figure out who's got what sin issue in their life and who needs prayer for what, okay? If you want prayer, you come down willingly. We'll pray for you, but I'm talking about God exposing things to you in your own life. God doesn't expose other people's lives to you so you can go and talk about them. Now, he may, somebody that you know, he may expose something so you can go and in love, confront them and let them know. But I'm just saying, when I'm talking about people coming into the church and being exposed, I'm talking about the Lord speaking to you. So be ready for it. So let's see, where was I at? All right. So again, people believe what they know is true, whether it actually is or not. This is a perception that we get in our minds sometimes. But once Christ has revealed something, the light of the world has revealed something, a decision has to be made. At that point, it's, okay, well, what am I going to do with this? Am I going to continue doing what I'm doing because I like it? Or am I going to change? So that's a decision that we get to where we have to make. And people don't really like change, especially if we don't think there's anything wrong with us to begin with. And me and my wife, we have a very open relationship where we tell each other what's going on. Okay, we don't hide or conceal anything from each other. And there's times where she tells me something that is going on that I don't really like. I mean, you know, these are subtle things, little things. Again, they're things that are concealed that I obviously don't realize, or maybe I would stop doing them. But just ways that I do stuff or whatever. Maybe you're somebody who leaves your dirty clothes on the floor all the time, you know. Some people just don't think about that. Your wife might reveal that to you by, you know, stuffing your dirty socks in your pillow or something. This has never happened to me. I just made that up. I should not have made that up because it was really bad. I'm going to go back to the notes. But people will expose things to you in that sense because sometimes we don't realize there's anything wrong. So anyway, if you're in that place today, and a lot of you are in that place where you have something, everybody has something that God needs to reveal to us, but don't be afraid of God's revealing light. It's part of who Jesus is. He doesn't do it for so we feel bad or so we are made fun of or so we're embarrassed. He does it for his sake. He does it for our sake. God wants to expose the things in us so that we can walk in the light as he is in the light. It's a good thing when God exposes our sin and our darkness and the things that we're doing in our lives. I love when God exposes things to me. And I've heard it said before, and probably you guys have too, that it's comforting when God convicts you of things because it shows you that he still loves you, okay? When I tell my kids that they're doing something wrong, I hate yelling at my kids. I hate, you know, getting on to them for things, But I tell them because I love them, because it's important that you know how to pick up after yourself. There's going to be a time where you're going to have your own home and you're going to need to know how to do it. It's not because I just like to be mean. It's love. And it's the same way with God when he works in our lives. It's because of the love that he has for us. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 8, says this, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are being done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore," he says, "awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." So once you come to know Christ, you know truth. You come to know Christ, you know truth, and you are to walk in the light, which is truth. Walk in the light, walk in truth. And when we walk as children of the light, as it talks about here in Ephesians, we find ourselves doing what is acceptable to the Lord. I mean, it says in verse 10, find out what's acceptable to the Lord. How do we find that out? From the truth, right? He reveals it to us. But this verse here, it advocates reading the Bible for yourself. Right there in verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. How do you find that out? You read the truth. It doesn't mean you just sit in here for a service 1 week and I'm going to, you know, preach one message and all of God's truth is going to be revealed that you need for your week, right? We need to find out what's acceptable to the Lord. We need to dig into the Word of God for ourselves. So there you go. There's a Bible verse that advocates reading the Word on our own. So people make mistakes. So I don't want everybody here to be relying on someone else's preaching or teaching, not as your only source, okay? When you come in here, I hope that you receive what I have to say, and I hope that God speaks to you through it. But every person should take everything that I say, any other person that you listen to, whether they teach a class or they preach, whatever it is, you take those things and you look them up for yourself. You have a responsibility to know the truth. And if you don't know the truth, you can't walk in it. You have to test it out, examine. This is what it means to walk in the truth, to find out what's acceptable. To find out means to test, examine, scrutinize in order to know what is acceptable to God. You have to do that. You have to test, examine, scrutinize what people say. And it's not with the mindset of proving them wrong or to make a spectacle or anything like that. It's because there's been things that I've been taught by men of God that today I don't believe are necessarily 100% accurate. And I talked about one of them in the men's group on Saturday. If you want to know, you'll have to come to men's group this Saturday to find out. But, I mean, for a while, you can ask Robbie, wherever he's at, I got to where I was preaching in men's group, and I really tried to leave it open and let everybody talk equally, but I just couldn't. For about 30 minutes, I just took it over, and I started preaching on this one thing that is something that I've been taught by multiple people, and I believe that it's completely wrong. You know how I found out it was wrong? Because I read it in the Bible. I read it for myself, and it's something I believed for years. We have a responsibility of finding out for ourselves what is acceptable to the Lord. And when I say this thing was wrong, I'm probably going to preach on it. I may interrupt this series for it, but it's a difference of opinion. I'm not saying that that person is wrong. I'm saying that what God revealed to me through it is different. So anyway, once we know the light and we're walking in it, it also says in Ephesians, you don't continue to have fellowship with the darkness. You cut the junk out of your life. Just like he told the adulterer, you leave your life of sin. You take off from it. And, you know, a lot of times people get hung up on terms. And it's part of what I was talking about on Saturday morning is the different words that we use that I can probably ask every person in here a couple of different words and ask you to give me a definition, and I'm horrible with definitions, but what do we give? Unless you're like a vocab, like whiz, you're going to give whatever your personal thought is on that word. So I give you a word like darkness. How many of you would say that you have darkness in your life? Not very many people want to raise their hand to that because we think of that as such a horrible thing. Like darkness, well, I'm not dark. Like that's only like really evil people. Like we're not zombies or anything. What do you mean darkness? But people think words like that are so bad. This is what darkness is. It's sin. Well, I don't have sin in my life. That's a horrible word too. We look at all these words and they sound nasty because they are. But listen to what darkness is. Darkness is very simple. It's an absence of light. That's what darkness is. Just like sin is an absence of God. Now, if you're a believer in Christ, you're like, well, I'm not absent of the light. I'm not absent of God. Well, there are parts of your lives that are. Every single one of us. I watched part of a hockey game the other night. There was no Jesus in that hockey game. He wasn't speaking to me during that hockey game because I wasn't listening to him. I was listening to the hockey game. There are parts of our lives, and I'm not saying all those things are bad. I'm just saying if you step back and you look at everything, there are areas of our life that are absent of God, that are absent of light. So it's ridiculous that we get this thought process that, well, darkness is such a nasty word. I don't have darkness. And the same with sin. But look at Genesis chapter 1, right in the beginning. I've been reading Genesis again, which I just read in December. It's the most amazing thing. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff in the Bible, but Genesis is amazing. I love reading it, and it's one of those that everybody reads Genesis the first time they get their Bible. Most people probably do, because it's in the beginning. It's right at the, I mean, you open it up, that's what's there. But Genesis is so great. Right in the very first opening words, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw the light and that it was good. And then God divided the light from the darkness. Did you see right there where God created darkness? No, because darkness is an absence of light. He created light to overtake the darkness. God created light. He didn't create darkness. So no, God didn't create evil. Evil is an absence of God in the heart. And I want to read this. It's a little bit long, but it'll preach by itself, this article that I had found. I've read it a few different times, but it says this. A university professor at a well-known institution of higher learning challenged his students with this question. Did God create everything that exists? And one student, this would probably be most of us, bravely says, "Why, yes, he did." You know, just ready to go. Yes, he absolutely did. And the professor says, "Okay, well, God created everything?" And the student says, "Yes, sir, he certainly did." And the professor answered, "If God created everything, then God created evil. And since evil exists, and according to the principle that our works define who we are, then we can assume that God is evil." This is what the professor says. The student, probably like many of us would be, you know, gets a little like, oh man, he's a professor, he's really smart, and kind of cowers down. And he became quiet, he didn't answer anymore. And the professor was quite pleased with himself, of course. He boasted to the students that he had proven once more that the Christian faith was a myth. And this is what another student says. Another student raises his hand and says, "Professor, may I ask you a question?" And he says, "Well, yeah, of course you can." And the student stands up and says, "Professor, does cold exist? And the professor says, well, what kind of question is that? Of course it exists. Have you ever been cold? And the other students are kind of laughing at the student that asked the question. And the young man says, in fact, sir, cold does not exist. According to the law of physics, what we consider cold in reality is an absence of heat. Every object, every body or object is susceptible to study when it has transmits energy, and heat is what makes a body or matter have or transmit energy. Absolute zero is the total absence of heat. That's minus 460 degrees, if you were wondering. And all matter becomes inert and incapable of reaction at that temperature, minus 460 degrees. Cold does not exist. We have created this word to describe how we feel when we have no heat. And the student continues, Professor, does darkness exist? And he says, of course it does. And the student says, once again, you're wrong, sir. Darkness does not exist either. Darkness is in reality the absence of light. Light we can study, but we can't study darkness. In fact, we can use Newton's prism to break white light into many colors and study the various wavelengths of each color. But you cannot measure darkness. A simple ray of light can break into a world of darkness and illuminate it. How can you know how dark a certain space is? You measure the light that is present. Isn't this correct? Darkness is a term used by man to describe what happens when there is no light. And finally, the young man asks the professor one more question. He says, sir, does evil exist? And now uncertain, the professor responds, of course, as I've already said, we can see it every day. It is the daily example of man's inhumanity to man. It is in the multitude of crime and violence everywhere in the world. These manifestations are nothing else but evil. And the student responds to him, evil does not exist, sir, or at least does not exist unto itself. Evil is simply the absence of God. It is just like darkness and cold, a word that man has created to describe the absence of God. God didn't create evil. Evil is the result of what happens when man does not have God's love present in his heart. It is like the cold that comes when there's no heat and the darkness that comes when there's no light. And the professor sat down. Argument was over. Anybody want to guess who that student was? Yeah, it was all the same student. It was all three questions were the same student, but it was Albert Einstein. Yeah. So that professor got probably a rude awakening that day that he probably was not expecting when he rolled out of bed. Light. Light is the absence of darkness. Or darkness is the absence of light, just like sin is the absence of God's love in our heart. So light reveals things to us that are in the dark. Another thing that light does is light gives life. So think about light and life for just a minute. If you have things that you want to grow, flowers, trees, fruit, vegetables, they require sunlight. And I know some of them require less light, but they still require light. Now, think of things that will grow in the shade, things that you don't want to grow in total darkness, maybe in your crawl space, in your basement, whatever. Things that will grow down there are mold, fungi, moss, things that thrive in darkness. You don't want the things that thrive in darkness, in secret, shady places in our life. We want the things that grow in the light. Light gives life. And it's just the same with Christ. The light of Christ brings life into us. And we see that in John chapter 12, chapter 8, verse 12, that first verse that I read. He says this, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. When you know the light and the truth, it gives us life. People think that living the way that they really want, that this way of really living is doing what you want. That's what I meant to say. Really living is doing what we want. But what we read is that we need the truth. We need the light in our lives because there are things in our life that thrive in the dark, the shady, the secret places. We have things that thrive there. So consider your thoughts. Just think about things that you think about normally. Think about your habits, maybe your relationships that you have with people. Do you have things that you would be ashamed or embarrassed if your parents, your wife, your children, your friends, if they discovered these things? These things that you have that grow in the dark? Because they will be exposed at some point, right? Light always wins. Read the book of Revelation. At the end, you'll find out light wins. But we have to remember, too, that God can see in the dark. God sees the things in our lives that grow in the dark. We hide and try to conceal things from other people in this life so that we can get away with them. Some things are concealed because we don't realize that they're there. But whether we're trying to conceal it ourselves or whether we just don't see it because of the darkness, we got to remember that God can see in the dark. I'm pretty sure that he has like built-in night vision goggles, right? He can see everything. And again, he doesn't expose things in the darkness to embarrass us. And quite frankly, he doesn't really even do it for his sake because he can already see it. Remember, he does that for you and for me because he loves us, because he wants us to see the things that we need to work out of our lives. So he will expose it so you can see it. You need the light of the world. You need Jesus. Every single one of us do, no matter what place we're at, we need Jesus. And in Proverbs 16, it's awesome. It says, "In the light of the king's face is life." This is exactly that one verse right there is what I'm trying to relay in this whole message. In the light of the king's face is life. We need to see Jesus, the king of kings, for who he really is, who he says he is. There's life in knowing him, not knowing about him, not knowing of him. There's life in knowing him. And the more you know truth, the more you know him. The more light that you have, the more you know him. And the more that we know him, the more that we know what he wants from us, what he wants us to have, what he wants us to experience in this life. He calls us out of darkness and into light. In John chapter 12, he says this, "I have come as a light to the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." Abide is to continue to be present. If you believe in Jesus, we're not to continue to be present in darkness. That's an absence of him. That's an absence of light in areas of our life. We should continue to pursue the light, to continue to seek out the things which are acceptable and pleasing to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5 says, "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Jesus is light, and if we are in him and he is in us, would we not, as the church, be the light of the world? Is that what he's left us? That's what he left us here for, to be the light of the world. We are a representation of him. In John chapter 9, he says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light." And then in John chapter 12, verse 35, he says, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light." Jesus is not in the world. He's in heaven. that he shows his light through us. He's in the world through us, the Holy Spirit inside of us. Now, something we need to have clear is that we are not the light. We represent the light. He's the light. We represent him. We become sons of light. That's awesome. We are a representation of Christ on the earth. And this is where the church, not just here, but the church in general, really needs to step it up. And I don't even just mean pastors or church leaders. I mean you. Every single one of us, me, everybody here, you represent the light. You represent the truth. At least we're supposed to be, right? We're supposed to be representing the truth. And we say all the time that Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. We say that. And I hate the fact that this statement is mocked and looked at as cliche. I hate it. It ought to be truth. It is truth. We have to know him. We have to know that Jesus is the bread of life. He's what we need to fulfill desires that we have in this life. He is the light of the light, the light of the world. He gives life by his light, by exposing the things that are dark inside of us. It's not you or me that's the light of the world. It's him. And religion is this. Religion is man doing works in effort to reach God. But what we have in the Christian faith is God reaching down to us. That's awesome. That's something that no other religion can say in confidence right there. We don't reach out to God. We don't work to get to him. He reaches down to us because he loves us. Our faith, the Christian faith, is about one thing and one thing only. And I hope that you guys know what that is at this point. It's Jesus. That's it. That is, I mean, what is Christianity in one word? Jesus. It's all about him. It's all about what he's done. It's all about especially who he is. If we take him out of the equation, we have nothing. If I ever preach and leave Jesus out of it, what is the point? There is no point. It's all about him. He is the bread of life. He's the one thing that we cannot live without. Guaranteed. You may not agree with it or not at this point, but I'm saying that Jesus is the one thing that I cannot live without. He's the one thing that you cannot live without because he's the way to everlasting life. It's not just life. The Bible talks about how if our hope is only in this life, that we are miserable and pathetic. That's what it says. If that's our only hope, our hope is for something way better than dealing with the junk that we deal with around us right now. Our hope is for that eternal life that only Christ can provide. So this is why he provides this light, because he's the hope in which we can live. He overcomes the darkness, and his light shows us the way. In the Psalms, it talks about how, Lord, your word is a light for my feet. It lights my path. His word, it lights our path. And something to think about, when we're inside and we have all the lights on and it's dark outside and you open up your curtains, what happens? The light goes outside. The darkness doesn't come in. I mean, you don't like, wow, it's bright in here. I'm going to open up my shades and let some darkness in. It doesn't work like that. The light shines out the windows when it's dark outside, and you can't do anything about it except put something in between the light and the dark, which is what we do in our lives sometimes, is we put stuff in front. We put a curtain in front of the light to prevent it from shining out. What Jesus wants to do is shine that light through you and through me, through his church. And we put a damper on that. We try to stop it so often. And if we think about, if you get lost and we're in the darkness and you see a light that's like, if I saw a light that was straight down there, down that tunnel, a light that shows us the way out, guess what? If you follow that light, the light is going to show you the path and the direction that you should take. The light is. It's going to expose the things in your life and show you the direction and the path that you take. It's not up to you. It's up to you if you don't want to follow the light, if you just want to stumble around in the darkness and try to find your own way out. So my question for everybody today is, will you follow the path that the Holy Spirit is trying to lead you down? Will you allow Jesus to be the light in your life? And will you be his light? And so I'm going to open up the altar for a time of prayer if anybody would like to receive prayer today. And whether you need to receive Christ for the first time in your life, whether you need to recommit to him or you just want to seek him on your own, I want to invite people to come down. But I hope that of all things today that everyone just takes away from this message, the light of Christ. And let God speak to you and let him reveal that to you in your life, what that means for you, what you need to take care of, the things that he reveals to us. So I'm going to open up the altar and I'll be down here on this side to pray. I'll do it unless we get too many. But and then if you want to seek God on your own, you can come to the other side. And Liz is going to lead us in a song or two of worship. So don't hesitate. Come down if you need prayer. Don't let today be that day that God reveals something to us and we just walk away and just leave it. Leave what he has for us. So I believe there's freedom in this place. I believe there's freedom where the Spirit is and the Spirit's here. So if you don't need prayer, I just ask everybody to stand and worship the Lord, worship with Liz, and lift his name high, glorify him, because it's all about him anyway, right? Right?